Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about... ...cast on conclusions. That might sound boring, but I can assure you that it's intensely important to you in your life, in terms of that you want a good conclusion to what you're doing, and you want your conclusion to be accepted over other people's alternative conclusions, because a conclusion is an analysis, a turning point from a situation, from one situation turns to another, turns to our conclusion, and then which direction something changes is really up for grabs. You know, people can push their conclusion, and the most dramatic version of that would be democratic elections, where people argue about their conclusions, have a vote on it, and the person wins. Inevitably, there is this, we don't conclude about the conclusion, we make a conclusion about whose conclusions are most likely to work. We pick a leader who puts conclusions for us. Now, this is rather prosaic for me. I'm just going to give you a little bit of background that hopefully the sound quality of this is very good, because I've got a directional microphone. I'm in a car though, so you'll get the car noise coming along, and it's taken a while to actually hunt down the crackle that I've been getting on here, so that's not really a conclusion for you. What I'm trying to say is, and I'm driving home from Katoomba all the way down to Glenbrook, a beautiful ride into the sun through school zones and the like. The story is that my son had to take his alarm clock up to time his cooking, and then when he went downstairs, he left his alarm clock upstairs, and the rest is just history, basically, and I just get around here. Now, conclusions. I had to write a conclusion to this paper, and there was, you know, this is a series of things. So a lot of people live life by avoiding doing research, avoiding any sort of work which takes them away from the centre of gravity of ideas that they're involved with. Just come on, truck. Oops, there's this big cement mixing truck ahead of me. Here we go. Around the corner. That's interesting. So a lot of people avoid effort. That's the very first thing. How do I approach the situation? They don't approach the situation in terms of solution, but they swim very much in the middle of the school of fish, monitoring what everyone else is doing and just going along for the ride. They're in life for the ride. They are very content to actually read the system, read the herd, and pick up what you require from the herd. So a lot of those people, they're not conclusion sensitive. Their conclusion is something that you read, it's given from society, you pick things up. Now, of course, the scientist at the other end of things is in this dangerous zone, because they look at things, and scientifically, it's one of the sort of really routine things of science, and it's the repeating story. Is that you find things that people have authored conclusions without science, and just with fingers crossed that science will produce the correct ideas for them. So. Map would it be, say, in the Middle Ages, people thought that disease was due to smell, and people just sort of pushed that. A lot of people died, and that was. And then science came up with a conclusion which was different from that. And then there was a lot of angst. So we don't general idea of. Taking direction which is other than the sort of social power that we've organised. Come on, cars coming around here. It is a tad busier. We're a bit late. Okay. Oh my God. There's been huge landslides around here. People want good views. Roads with good views. Views are on cliffs. The cliffs are eroding in the Blue Mountains. It's part of the natural order of things. They've been eroding for millions of years. And so what started off as a very narrow canyon is now this sort of second largest canyon in the world. But it's not sort of surprising that, you know, we lose certain things. So it's going to be pretty amazing to see this all come along. So we've got idea that you can say sort of something scientific about conclusions is that if any process, this conclusion is an answer essentially, and if you have a system which is producing different answers, there are different inputs which are creating those different answers. Is this most fundamental thing that you could say? Or just seeing what a person here is doing there. Okay. And I'll be with you in a second. So it's all about conclusions and the fact that conclusions is anything but conclusive. Conclusions again. Back again after a brief break. People who are used to driving with me from Katoomba to Glenbrook know that I have break on the way back, we've got this beautiful thing is that a conclusion, certain conclusions are conclusive and other conclusions are open-ended, and my godfather, and then obviously a system can produce, a situation can produce say one conclusion, or you can have a situation where a variety of different measurements and different perspectives produce a variety of conclusions, and those conclusions can be contradictory, or they can be present different aspects. So you've got this entire view of conclusions. Now, people very much want a single conclusion. It's one or the other, and this is basically it, the on one aspect, like I'm dealing with essentially is the like there's sort of basically is 2 + 2 = 5, yeah, any conclusion that's right or wrong, something like that, but in one system 2 + 2 = 5, that's very near enough, whereas, you know, near enough is good enough. And another group of a group is that near enough is not good enough. So there's this version, and you can sort of almost say that if you do have a disputed conclusions, you have the just going to quietly sit here. And I'm not going to do anything with this person. Oh, my good father. No stopping bus zone. Oh, there's a big bus in the big bus zone. Okay, to come across. Sorry about this. Look, if I can say one of the bizarre things is that on one aspect, thank you, Mr. Big garbage truck in the way. It's decided it will accelerate. Get out of here. Okay, sorry for all this. This is just so sad. I've got the traffic in front of me. I should be able to settle down and have a few zones here. So on one aspect, by one metric, scientifically, you get one conclusion. That is and this is sort of just the nature of the beast. Oh, fuck. it's sort of heavy truck land here, right? Yeah, just the big monsters coming on here. And they are doing the speed limit, and your gosh. Okay, look, so in this particular example, I produce, you know, the conclusion is one aspect of the Einstein pendulum. I'm sorry about talking about this, it's a very important aspect of it. It seems so unfascinating. When I built it, I kept on looking at it and going, I can't believe it. Then I believed it, then I understood, then I had the implications for it. The Einstein pendulum. This is a piece of ceramic in a magnetic field can begin to oscillate. Fundamental aspect of it. Now, it's a scientific set of conclusions are that it works, you can see it, and therefore it has a ripple effect. So you can have all your series of conclusions except for one piece of contradictory evidence, and it means you have to rework the whole lot, and you can plaster it over, or you can make a make-up conclusion. So this conclusion is a bit of a warfare zone. So a person looking over it who is a conclusion, there's people who are open-minded scientists, you know, they won't stand their ground on conclusions because experiments are going to do it. People who are socially active know how to grab a conclusion, push it forward, and shout it down. And what they've done is they've shouted it down and said, look, if that was important, you'd be famous. You're not famous. Quid quo, you can get this sort of tie or not. So there's these symptoms that either is borne out by evidence, or if it's not borne out by evidence, to have an alternative view, an alternative conclusion, there is some sort of logical knot. So an experiment is externally generated logic and internally generated logic. And internally generated logic is fantastic because it spans a huge distance between experiments. Or you can have something which is like a mock experiment, a mock experimental result, which generates something, a knot, and your ability to have access to these knots, inspection of these knots, is limited. So this particular person is, or who can come in and say, oh, look, that hasn't happened. If it has happened, you'd be famous. Then a corollary of that, the work that you're doing is not worthwhile. Therefore, we can remove the table. We can actually make it harder and harder for you to go. So there's this thing of directing away from evidence, sort of a little bit of a giveaway between the two aspects. So, for instance, there is a certain amount of if people really don't understand evidence and don't understand logic, their conclusion is that all things are made up, and it goes to the person who can make it up as much as possible. So that's sort of like the difference between a scientist, where evidence makes it up, and a politician, where the victory goes to the person who can manufacture opinion, manufacture things, and if they can basically manufacture better than anybody else, my God, come on. Sorry, I've got a little beep from the truck behind me, but I'm far out. It's, you know, we are in a busy, we're in a 40 kilometre an hour zone, and we're in a busy sort of village in the mountains. I've got this situation that by one metric you produce one conclusion, by another metric you make the other conclusion, and the basic idea is that if you have a variable input and a variable output, you have a system. You know, this is the entire thing of a system, a complex system. If you have your input, you can vary and always get the same output. It means that your input is not related to your output. And so here comes this truck going, oh, fuck you, I'm going in the fast lane, but you're not going to be helped, mate. But you reject, you know, that, are you going to change lanes behind me? Oh, God. Sorry all about this. I've come up against possibly two or three things where I'm thinking a whole lot of people are going in and electing a conclusion that they like. Ultimately, people, when systems overwhelm them, they stop focusing on the system and they latch on the conclusion that they want and actually put a series of behaviours which ensure that outcome happens. And you see this all the time, and there's no point shouting at them because they do not understand their system. They don't understand the system. Therefore, if you try and start, it's the system is simply over their head. They just simply cannot understand what's going on. And this is why you tend to get stupid people. I have to say that. Stupid people who are politicians, people in charge, they've decided that systems are over their head, and so they've worked out a alternate way than logic to getting things done. And this is people power, soft power. Oh my God, it's an absolutely beautiful view here of Sydney at the moment. So what happens is you go up the mountain, then going down the mountain, you go over crests with these fantastic views. Going up the mountain, you tend to get views of sky. Oh my God, Father, that is absolutely pristine, beautiful view of Sydney on the horizon. It's about 70 click into Sydney, about the horizon distance over. Just sitting on the horizon, as sort of like teeth between the horizon and the ground. My God, what are you doing? A little bit scary for me, truck. I'm not going to go too fast. Okay, and of course, the trucks are going really fast here. My God, poor residents, because you'd hear so much air brake and all that type of crap. Okay, yeah, the idea is that one of the essential things that if you don't understand a system, you will then have your conclusion is one of the most fundamental aspects of it is there only one conclusion or is there multiple conclusions? If there's multiple conclusions, it's now open and the system has to be analysed. So one of your hallmarks of when you're in the shit is you walk into a place and they have all gone, there is one conclusion. It could be a religious cult, it could be a any group of people who have one conclusion. And if you walk in saying, look, hang on, there's multiple conclusions, people are going to start going through and working out, you're going to, because the reason that people want one conclusion is it's a very secure thing. It requires no more brain power. Let's get on, let's have children, eat dinner, build a house, have a mortgage, burn some carbon, whatever you normally do without thinking. One conclusion. Now, if people have multiple conclusions, there has to be a reasoning behind it. And so people have behaviours which don't add up, and then it's sort of like a cascade. They have a behaviour to keep a conclusion under wraps. So one example would be not responding to something appropriately, feeling uncomfortable. If you produce a conclusion alternative just for discussion, it's something that they feel uncomfortable, or they won't fund it, they won't do it, and you can sort of pick this up that if people have been doing, you've got symptoms. One is if they do the same thing they've always been doing for a long time. They've always been doing it. So if they've been doing the same thing for 15 years or 20 years or 100 years, and they believe there's only one conclusion, there's a fair chance that they're not in an environment in which they feel comfortable discussing things. So and you have to be aware of that, because you don't have, people just don't go, oh my God, oh my culture, oh let's turn off my culture for the moment and stuff. So Australia has got a lot of what you call mentally sedentary people. That is, they live their entire life in one section, have their entire life always the same group of friends, don't move about the place, start to have basically poor intellectual lifestyles, and that is where they basically have a snow fight conclusion, where they lob a conclusion and hide and make it very fucking difficult to challenge, say, or they will just make it socially difficult for you to go. And that will create an edifice of stability in a fluid environment. And basically, if you intellectually fluid is where you're learning. Intellectually static is where you can operate from. So I can sort of see that if you want to have a static, if you want an environment where you can actually dictate and have power and pull levers, you need some sort of foundation that you can work for. So basically, if you don't have intellectual power, you are down the shit. So fundamentally, if the power structure of society is obviously from, I'm not what you call wanking, oh fig jam, fuck I'm great, just ask me. It's not from that structure. If everything was the logic of a debate, the most intelligent people would be running society. It's not. It's the person who can basically, the most stubborn and ignorant people get to run society, and they have a system which does it, and they operate on nurturing people's sense of intellectual insecurity. So they just love people who can't think, who make these stupid conclusions. That's just absolutely lovable. So if I can just talk about some things. There's one, the Einstein pendulum. There's other things where I'm going in and out of work situation. Thank goodness I haven't been involved in any of these situations before. You open up a document, and the metadata for the document says that, you know, the date of the document is this. The metadata says the document has been edited since that top date. So the top date, really, really simple things. And on one extreme, there's sort of a certain level of fraud. And so fraud is essentially putting forward making people deliberately acting in a way to create a false conclusion, to create a basically conclusion craft to falsely make people make incorrect decisions. So a fraud would be is an information crime, essentially. do it such that people would make an incorrect conclusion and do behave in a way which suits you. That's essentially a fraud. And if you are stupid enough, you can see, well, how else can you do it? How else can I get the answer to this mathematical equation? By the only way I can do it is go back to the back of the book and actually look up the answer. Or if I write an answer, I go to the back of the book and put my answer in the back of the book, and then just really do people. So there's a whole lot of things which mean that this is not going to happen overall. And what essentially happens is sort of the march of progress in technology. So in the old days, it was pretty easy to cook the books. You would just make things up, and information was a lot harder to track down. You had to actually believe just the information in front of you. Now it's a little bit more complicated, in that the actual information is diffuse, interrelated, and stuff like that. So you don't know whether, if you put in false information, that's going to be picked up. And so what this is tending to do is to actually herd people into, I suppose, trivial conclusion stuff. And I do not understand that a lot of people listening to this are saying, what the heck is going on? So let's go back and re-summarise. There's essentially three sections to any sort of system, social system, or anything that we do. There's the basic acquisition and processing of information. So we get some information, we process it, then we communicate, we disseminate it, we action that processing and action. So that's that secondary thing. We make it have a social effect. And then finally, once it has a social effect, that will trigger a conclusion, a response. So in a lot of social systems, we have to have that very controlled. We have to have that entire sequence entirely controlled, so that one little object leads to the next, leads to the next. It all happens. But and we also have to have that people do the same three parts of that process, three communication parts. Now, if you want to do something different, you have to actually start looking at those three areas: the actual processing, so in the actual processing, I've built new robotics and new quantum mechanical thingos and stuff like that. Communications, I've looked at, obviously, there's the podcasting, but there's also video paper casting, I suppose, might be it, where I write and eventually incubate the ideas. So at the moment, the continual podcasting is a incubation of skill. I'm being able to talk a bit more, but video paper casting, I've actually been able to incubate the actual writing, because the production technique is stable, so I can actually focus on the quality of it. So that's a advance there. Then conclusion craft is that the idea is that the most people think is that conclusions should be conclusive, really, essentially, you should, and obviously, if people go for a conclusion regardless of evidence, we call that bias. And so what I would say is that there is this bias to have the status quo, and this bias to have the status quo operates right across these three zones. Not just the conclusion, but the resourcing of the investigation, the resourcing of the communication. So if you can define the communication such that it's a very narrow cast, no one can hear it, you can only, if you write a paper, it can only be an academic paper and no one sees it, you can close it down. If you could say, well, no one, I'm not going to fund research, I'm not going to look at research, I'm going to shut it down and stuff like that, or I'm going to start to punish this with conclusions by making my conclusive conclusion of that, if the work that you did, you do, if it is true, you'd be famous, you're not famous, goodbye, out of the way. And if you come back at me and say, or don't come back at me, if you want to challenge me, you're making me feel upset. I can't cope with that. So you've created this sort of defensiveness, and this is where people see conclusions as part of the overall power. You know, it is an overall power play, and I can see this coming out on a number of issues. This is where you're looking at a situation analytically, and you say, my analysis is, oh, we might be able to do this a bit differently, a bit more efficiently, perhaps what we should do is not what we're allowed to do within the envelope of external control. Should we actually look at the actual researching way outside the envelope and actually building links across to it? So one example is this Falconbridge, these history walks. I've got the app. I'm doing some basic thing. The app is there, looking at the app, but then going out to say, will the US company support me? Will the people in here do it? Who are the places? What are the blocks? Now, one block appears to be that the US company is not very strong. It doesn't have a lot of medium people to, intermediary people to look at. And so they're not, it's critical that we actually talk to these guys. 7 kilometres, I'm just checking that. These people are going at 7 kilometres an hour. I'm going at 7 kilometres an hour just to work out what the heck is going on. Oh. Okay, I've seen a speed limit. I can go up to 80. Or the truck's going up to 80 as well. Yes, conclusion is the solution, and there's a Hilbert space, and the fact that the idea is that a conclusion type, this is a mathematical idea, so if I have a conclusion type, I should be able to iteratively apply that conclusion such that it's stable. It's a sort of an Argon function of it. So there's sort of conclusions as a mathematical process. So I've got some information and I apply a process to it and I will generate a conclusion. But the type of conclusion you generate varies on your function. So you can have a judicial conclusion, which is a conclusion which deems things to be true or untrue. We take this as true, and from that we have a consequence. That's a very important thing. There's also a scientific conclusion, which is essentially a processing of information which allows another person to come in and take pass the baton. I think they're the major thing. There's also a deemed conclusion. That is, a conclusion with full bias and prejudice. My God, there's police and all these types of craps around that person's very... they'll be waiting there for an awfully long time. So you've got deemed conclusions. And look, really, when I wrote out the different types of conclusions that you can have for different situation producing, I had about 7 different types of conclusions. I can only think with my poor ratty brain about 4. So there's a few other conclusions. But then there's so that's conclusion as a self-consistent process, an outcome-related conclusion. Then you can have the idea of conclusion as not as what it does to the system, but as what I can use it. So it's the idea that I make I suppose there's the idea of consensus conclusion, there's an actionable conclusion, but also a conclusive conclusion. So there's also strategic conclusion, that is, given this, what is the consequence of that in that strategic framework? That's an actionable conclusion. Is a whole, it's far out, there must be something happening right up the top there. So you got all these things happening on top of each other. So it's quite an amazing situation. There's sort of these also high level conclusions, is that the conclusion competency, and as essentially your conclusion that you introduce to an area has to equal the competency of the people looking at it. Otherwise, it's completely useless. So if you go into a primary school class and say a conclusion which is way above their head and outside their scope of understanding, it'll be pointless. Whereas similarly, if you give a conclusion and baby talk to an executive board, you'll also be turfed out. So there's this idea of the appropriateness and the ability. Sort of surrounding conclusion is the idea of conclusion competency. And this is one of the things that... one of the most amazing things is the process of conclusion. So with this cognitive impairment, can I say that there's a few things where you go, gotcha, yep, I must be cognitively impaired, or it must be, but you don't feel it's not painful or anything like that. So one of the things is that you tend to fall asleep, or you work on something and it just fades. And so what you require, it's sort of like if you fall over, you require a walking stick. So cognitively, it's working into a process where when you're working, you can see where you've gone, and you basically, it's sort of like cooking. If you're cognitively impaired, you put things in bowls, you store them up, and you do things in a particular way to capture things. And you have your menu there, and when you've done something, you rule your line through. You say, I've fucking well done that, but I haven't done these things. Okay, have I remembered this? I've got all my ingredients in line. So there's a process of doing it. And one of the things for me is that it's actually rather worked well, because I will forget where I'm up to and rebuild rebuild, repaint, repaint, repaint. And it's sort of like there's artists where you go right across. So in terms of there's two levels of conclusion competency. There's the competency to actually comprehend, and this competency to build. It's sort of like two aspects. It's for like selling a house on a market. There's the buyers, there's the sellers, the vendors, and the, whatever they are, the people who sell and the people who buy. And there's a sort of a conclusion competency in that. So conclusions are sort of like realestate.com. You've got all these different types of conclusions, and you have to build and sell them. And for all this, a lot of people go, oh, look, I don't have to do that. I can actually, it's much easier to live in a caravan park of conclusions where everything's done for you. And there's this basic assuredness that one of the great things about living in a culture is that you dress up in your cultural uniform, you go out and you light a house and beat a drum with a little pork pie hat and a little brush on that side. That's what you do. I'm just following my culture, and I love it. And that's one of the things that people... That's what people love about cultures, because there is nothing more endearing than actually the language, the thought, the structure. And essentially people live in a tower of the past conclusions. I'm living in a car. So I'm driving a car with a. It's built on a whole series of conclusions. It's built up a culture. So it's one of the things that people are very wary of. Anyone who comes in and wants to tamper with a conclusion, they need authorization. And if you know nothing, you say, what the heck is going on? So if you just see someone in a shopping center whip out a knife and start doing open heart surgery on someone, you go, you're most likely to say that person is not saving that person's life, but creating an assault, which most of the time you're right. But occasionally this person will be able to tell that this person is suffocating and I've got to actually do it. And in essence, the education system is suffocating under it's got a basic emphysema. It can't breathe information incorrectly. You have to respect the fact that to people on the outside, it looks as though you are... They can't tell the difference between CPR and assault, essentially going into this all. I managed to talk all the way down to Bluxton. It's incredible. This is the fact that your conclusion is wrapped in a whole series of things. One is the interpretation of your conclusion. You know, whether it's conclusive, it's the potency. I think potency might be the word. It's whether, firstly, you can actually hose down a conclusion with these silly things or frauds and stuff like that, and then the frauds are these knots of. Logical knots in lieu of knowledge, and the thing is that a logical knot is a weakness, and our weaknesses have to be defended. So you can do that, and then there's this because a lot of the ability to put conclusions forward are involved with power, and power ultimately is a behavior and your sensitivity. people are very sensitive to new ideas simply because it means that they're going to have to behave differently. They feel perhaps the very next thing they're going to say that I don't deserve this enormous wealth which I've got by actually telling a few lies at an interview and actually being clever and competitive, which may not. I think if you look under a lot of wealth, people either can't explain it, or if they can, they don't want to explain the way it is. This may be wealth or power or things like that. Especially since you can acquire wealth and power by not being the best. This is called being street smart and clever. You can actually go across. Okay, we're coming towards the end. So the actual there's a whole level of conclusion craft, and this means it comes back to a whole series of things. If it's not stable, you've got a choice. You can actually park yourself with the battle that you're going to win, or you can actually, or you know, pick your battle, but you can actually strategize. And the strategy is to all strategies have an element of prediction. Most strategies deal with, you don't have a strategy, we do have a strategy for the interpretation of the past, but strategies are future oriented and also have a prediction associated with it. So strategies and conclusions link very strongly together. Where's different lights? What the fuck are you trying to do, truck? I'm not going to do anything you're pulling off. Thanks, mate. Oh, Christ. Okay. We're nearly home. So the link between strategy and conclusions are incredibly complex. The link between conclusions and power. To do a strategy, you require either a power, or you can either be powerful, or you can be clever, or you can be psyched out of the strategy. There's sort of three options of a strategy, and both power, cleverness, and psyched out is all basically your conclusions. So you often, you know, if we look at the actual equations of it, of people going into the place, I have assertive leader, submissive people. Now, the way that this operates is that one assertive leader can make 20 submissive people. It's a way of condensing social order. This power submission process. It has to be in a way that we're talking about this. I don't know what's happening in Australia. There's landscape trucks. What's that other truck? Aggregate trucks. There's just, what's happening? I've just never seen, like, it's chock-a-block full of trucks. I'm sure there's a bit of statistics in it all coming across here. People do continuously making, like I did make a conclusion, there must be a story. And essentially, the input of conclusions must be, on average, not to generate a response. You want stable action. What are you doing, mate? Coming around here, mate. Okay. Check with the time, 9:13. So it's essentially one, we do know the following facts, that people do not change their conclusions or change their behaviours on a whim. There's a behaviour has a stability associated with it. With the stability, there is a series of things that you can mathematically say. Biases are things which create stability in behaviour, which is absolutely damn good. And also, a bias creates stability in behaviour in such that you have to have things reasonably stable. You have to have a reasonably stable process, so you give sufficient time for processes to operate. You have to have a reasonably stable communication thing. If you keep on swapping your communication style, no one's going to listen to you. You've also got to have a reasonably stable... I'm just looking at here. I think it is absolute pandemonium here. I'm just going to go up and check my area, my house. I'm in front of a primary school. I sort of can imagine people... You know, if you no longer have your kids going to a primary school, finding that there's zillions of people here. Oh no, it's chock-a-block now. Okay, so that's the end of this podcast. So I just really hope that it comes through and it connects to some of you out there in various countries, Ukraine, United States, UK, wherever you sad people live outside. Look, it is definitely fun and frustrating living in Australia, especially if you... I think it's for anyone who thinks for themselves... You're damned. It's much easier to be a bot. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.